And from the KCOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. It's Thursday. Alaska Senate Education Committee has introduced a bill to increase per-student state funding by $1,000. That would bring the base student allocation, or BSA, to $6,960. It'd be the highest one-year increase ever. Teachers, school administrators, and elected officials spoke in favor of more education funding at a Senate Education Committee meeting yesterday. Juneau music teacher Mike Busey said increasing the BSA would help reduce out-migration from the state.
Underfunded schools are a major factor driving away young, skilled, and professional families. Families who would love to contribute to the growth of our state's economy, but are not willing to sacrifice their children in a subpar educational system.
Fairbanks teacher Thomas Kennedy said it would help reduce staff turnover.
The morale of the young teachers, a lot of them that are single wage earners just getting started, are so low that they're the lowest that I've seen in all my years of teaching.
Two speakers opposed a funding increase, saying changes to curriculum or expanded access to private schools would be better ways to improve student outcomes. But multiple teachers said inadequate funding hurt student performance by leading to bigger class sizes and high staff turnover rates. Jessica Parrish, a former teacher in Juneau, said she had the strongest relationship with her smallest classes.
Each got more talking time, more performance time, more comfort with their peers, more chance to shine or get individual attention and instruction, and more feedback on their writing. And I also knew them better, and so was able to pick up when I had a freshman who was initiating marijuana use and another who was abusing alcohol.
Last session's Alaska Reads Act included a $30 increase starting in July 2023, but many district leaders say it's not enough to keep up with rising costs. The committee will hear additional public comment about the BSA on Wednesday. In the heart of Juneau lives a fragile ecosystem surrounded by urban development. The Mendenhall Wetlands State Game Refuge has been preserved as a habitat for birds, fish, and mammals since the 1970s. But some environmentalists are worried it might be threatened by the proposal of a second connection between Juneau and Douglas Island. KTOO's Anna Canny has more.
The Mendenhall Glacier melts into a river that meets the ocean right next to Juneau's airport. It forms one of the largest tidal salt marshes in southeast Alaska. It's considered a key habitat for hundreds of bird species and an essential spawning ground for fish. Matt Robis is a retired wildlife conservation officer for the state. He says the value of the wetlands is easy to overlook.
It's an extraordinarily important piece of habitat that we often take for granted because it's right in the middle of our town and we drive alongside it every day to and from work and to and from the store.
Robis is one of many local scientists who worry that the habitat might be threatened by new development. The idea of building another bridge, tunnel, or causeway to connect Juneau and Douglas has been around for decades, but the project started to take shape when the city and the Alaska Department of Transportation launched a study to scope out possible locations for the crossing. The study outlines 8 possible routes for the crossing. Half of them pass through the Mendenhall State Game Refuge. The refuge is already bordered by major developments like Egan Highway and the airport.
There's already pressure on this habitat, and there aren't other habitats around like it to replace it. And therefore, our concern is that it really shouldn't be subjected to another significant negative impact. And these crossings have at least the potential to do that.
The refuge management plan is set up so that a route can only cut through the wetlands if there's not an option to go around it. The current study for the second crossing has 3 options that are outside the refuge, but it also has 4 that cut through the refuge. Irene Gallion, a senior planner on the project, says she understands why some people are worried about the many routes that cross through the protected wetlands.
People are going to see some options out there that they might think are like, wow, crazy. But it's important to put them out there so they can be analyzed, so they can be supported or shot down.
But there are limited locations for the crossing outside of the wetlands. Some of them would be too close to the existing bridge. Gallion says it's important to consider all the options. At this early stage in the study, there's no preferred route, but public comment received so far will help to narrow down possible crossing locations. If the city decides to proceed with the crossing, all the selected routes will have to go through a more robust environmental review under the National Environmental Policy Act. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
People can submit their feedback on the first round of crossing alternatives through a survey on the project webpage by Friday. Students out in Mount Edgecombe High School in Sitka are learning how to fly a plane before they even set foot in a cockpit. Their aviation ground course is the first step towards becoming a licensed private pilot and a springboard to the skies. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Do you hear hear that? That's the low hum of a single-engine airplane reverberating throughout a classroom at Mount Edgecombe High School. It's not an unusual noise here. The school looks out on Sitka Sound, and float planes zip by almost every day. But the humming is quieter today because it's not coming from a real plane. This is a simulation.
What's your altitude right now?
1300.
And your airspeed looks real nice. They just don't go as fast at over 152.
Yeah.
But it's doing good. This is what he'll probably actually train on.
Jack Davis teaches the Aviation Ground School course at Mount Edgecombe, and Fridays are Flight Simulator Day. In the back of Davis's classroom, three students sit at computers playing what looks like a video game with a few extra bells and whistles. But it's not a game. They're logging flight hours.
How's it going, Ryder? You're on track?
Pretty good, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna let you go for a bit. You guys keep doing it. Wish I had some in-flight peanuts for you.
Davis got what he calls the flying bug when he was teaching in Western Alaska. And once he got his private pilot's license, he bought a small plane in Texas and he flew it home. He's been teaching in Alaska for 30 years, 15 of them at Mount Edgecombe. And for the last five, he's taught the aviation ground course. Throughout the week in his class, students crack the books, building the skills to pass a written test in April. That's their first step toward earning a private pilot's license.
Understanding how to communicate with people in the air and who's there to help you on the radio and making sure you're going where you think you're going, navigating to the right place, understanding your engine and making sure it's not going to overheat or run out of fuel, different things.
But on Fridays, they take to the skies, virtually anyway. The simulator is more complicated than your typical video game setup. Students watch their flight progress from a monitor, but instead of using one handheld controller, they have to multitask, managing steering, throttles, and pedals to keep their planes gliding above the peaks and valleys of Alaska's rugged topography. Davis says the software can simulate flying from nearly every airport in the world. And the class uses paper charts, too.
I've landed on some grass strips in Indiana on these simulators. So there's some fun spots. But we have sectional charts for Alaska. So they can look at all the detail of where they're flying. And so we like to fly out where we're used to and kind of situations in the terrain that they'll see when they're in real life.
Aiden Panzer is a senior from Unalakleet, and today he flew a Cessna Caravan from Kenai to Homer, then to Soldotna, and all the way back. And it was a bumpy ride, because the simulator incorporates real-time weather conditions. But he tweaked the settings so it would be a little brighter, since this time of year, sunlight's scarce up north.
And it kind of keeps you on your toes, which is what you should be doing when you're actually in the plane. So that's what I like about this flight simulator specifically. So it always keeps you on the edge of your seat in case, you know, your turbulence knocks you off course.
For some students, the aviation course is just a fun experience. They dip a toe in and maybe decide they prefer their feet planted firmly on the ground. For others, they get the same bug that Davis got. That's how Panzer feels. He plans to study aerospace engineering next fall in Oregon. After that, he hopes to join the Air Force.
I've always been interested in, like, space, I guess. I'm a huge space nerd. I have a telescope. I look at stars. And I guess that just brings me closer to it, is being in a plane.
Ultimately, Panzer's not sure if he wants to fly a jet or a rocket. Either way, he says flying to him means freedom.
Sometimes I'll, like, when I'm walking and I see a seagull or an eagle or something like that, I just like picture, it would be so awesome to be that bird. Go wherever you want.
If students pass their written tests in April, they can move on to the next leg of their flight, getting in the air. And maybe someday they'll land their own real float planes in Sitka Sound. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
The Alaska Department of Public Safety has released a draft of its policy for state troopers to wear body-worn cameras, and it's seeking public input on the proposal. Public Safety spokesman Austin McDaniel says the department has been pushing body cameras for troopers for several years. And in 2022, the state approved spending just over $3.5 million to get cameras on state and wildlife troopers, deputy fire marshals, and village public safety officers. The public can submit comments on the policy from February 8th to March 1st. After comments are taken into account, McDaniel says the state plans to begin the pilot program in the spring to outfit troopers with cameras. You're listening to KTOO. It's just about 5 o'clock.